In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My children, I never thought I'd be preaching a sermon on this subject. But here we are, starting this new year of grace, with an issue headed for us like a 15-passenger van. Vaccination. It's hard to keep up with the science behind it, and with the moral questions involved. And yet, before we know it, it may be mandatory. Where are you in all of this? I'm not sure. Some of you may have heard that, as a good Catholic, you can't take a vaccine for COVID-19, or at least not the ones out there so far. Others may have read that the available vaccines are not only immoral, but unsafe, even wicked in their design. Still others may have heard that the church hierarchy, especially the Pope, declared that you must be vaccinated. And if there are ethical issues at stake, the church is setting aside such considerations because of the gravity of the pandemic, granting a COVID exception, as it were, to the usual moral law. My only goal today is to set these matters straight so that you have an informed conscience and can make just, prudent, and charitable decisions. To that end, I'm putting three questions to you with regard to COVID vaccines. May I? Should I? Must I? May I? Are there morally acceptable vaccines available? And if not, can I, as a child of God, with the natural law inscribed on my heart, take a vaccine developed by unethical means, especially means which involve in some way the violation of someone else's right to life? Should I take a COVID vaccine? Is it the right health decision for me and for those around me? Must I take a vaccine for this virus which is currently spreading throughout the world? In this dark hour, let none of us forget that we are children of Holy Mother Church. The Church has not abandoned us in our need. We are not in uncharted moral territory. Many of you have come to me for years with questions about unethically developed vaccines. The Church has always given us the teaching we need to make moral decisions. 1 month ago, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith issued an important document by order of the Sovereign Pontiff, recalling the moral teaching already clearly set forth by that same congregation in the 2008 document Dignitas Personae, and applying that teaching to the current crisis. The issue at hand is that several of the vaccines which have currently been made available for emergency use by the Food and Drug Administration made use of a cell line from an aborted child at some stage of the vaccine's development. The document from the Vatican addresses the moral implications of this issue. As the instruction Dignitas Personae states, in cases where cells from aborted fetuses are employed to create cell lines for use in scientific research, there exist differing degrees of responsibility of cooperation in evil. For example, in organizations where cell lines of illicit origin are being utilized, the responsibility of those who make the decision to use them is not the same as that of those who have no voice in such a decision. In this sense, when ethically irreproachable COVID-19 vaccines are not available, it is morally acceptable to receive COVID-19 vaccines that have used cell lines from aborted fetuses in their research and production process. The fundamental reason for considering the use of these vaccines morally licit is that the kind of cooperation in evil, passive material cooperation, in the procured abortion from which these cell lines originate is, on the part of those making use of the resulting vaccines, remote. The moral duty to avoid such passive material cooperation is not obligatory if there is a grave danger, such as the otherwise uncontainable spread of a serious pathological agent, in this case the pandemic spread of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19. It must therefore be considered that, in such a case, all vaccinations recognized as clinically safe and effective can be used in good conscience with the certain knowledge that the use of such vaccines does not constitute formal cooperation with the abortion from which the cells used in production of the vaccines derive. It should be emphasized, however, that the moral illicit use of these types of vaccines, in the particular conditions that make it so, does not in itself constitute a legitimation, even indirect, of the practice of abortion, and necessarily assumes the opposition to this practice by those who make use of these vaccines. In fact, the illicit use of such vaccines does not and should not in any way imply that there is a moral endorsement of the use of cell lines proceeding from aborted fetuses. That was long and dense. I'll do my best to break it down for you. As far as the difference between formal and material cooperation in evil, I've given conferences on that before, and I'd be happy to make one available. For now, we'll have to stick with the brief reminder of this perennial moral teaching, which the document referred to at the beginning. We all have to live good Catholic lives in the midst of evil. From a moral point of view, working as a doctor in an abortion clinic is not the same as working as a janitor there, nor the same as just buying coffee from a franchise that donates money to the abortion industry. At any rate, if all you've heard so far is some vague statement from the media that the Vatican gave the green light to abortion-tainted vaccines, I hope you'll see now that is far from the case. Did the Holy See really say that a person can, without sin, take a vaccine developed or tested by use of the cells of a murdered child? What, in fact, are the conditions here placed on a person's conscience? I find three. A person may take an abortion-tainted vaccine without sin if no ethically developed vaccines are available, taking the unethically developed vaccine is necessary to avert a grave danger, the vaccine is recognized as clinically safe and effective. A fourth condition is added, seemingly to society as a whole rather than to the individual. Use of the unethically developed vaccine must not lead to a further legitimization of the crime of abortion or of the use of aborted fetal cells. The first condition depends on a simple matter of fact, and the moral obligation is clear. If an ethically developed vaccine is readily available, a person may not take an abortion-tainted vaccine, regardless of the other conditions. Suppose, then, that no such vaccine is available to a particular individual. We proceed to condition number two. Taking the unethically developed vaccine must be necessary to avert a grave danger. The Vatican document then immediately adds, in this case, the pandemic spread of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19. That might lead you to believe that the Holy See has declared unequivocally that the spread of COVID-19 is a grave danger. That opinion certainly seems to be implied here. However, at the beginning of the document, it is stated, "We do not intend to judge the safety and efficacy of these vaccines, although ethically relevant and necessary, as this evaluation is the responsibility of biomedical researchers and drug agencies." In other words, even if one accepts the premise that the spread of COVID-19 throughout the general populace is a grave danger, in order for the use of an abortion-tainted vaccine to be morally acceptable, it must be established that the use of that vaccine is necessary in order to prevent the spread of COVID-19. At the very least, you need to have come to the informed conclusion that taking the vaccine is of grave importance to your own health and or the health of those around you. Whether such a vaccine can be said to be a necessary means of thwarting the spread of the virus depends, of course, on condition number three. The abortion-tainted vaccine must be recognized as clinically safe and effective in the first place. Here, once again, the Holy See makes no determination. That is a question for medical science. But there is another moral principle implied here. Apart from urgent necessity, taking any form of medication without at least an educated hope that it is safe and effective for you constitutes a sin against prudence and against the Fifth Commandment, by disrespecting the integrity not of another person's body, but of your own. I had said that the fourth condition seemed to be aimed more at society as a whole than at the individual. But there surely is a role for each of us to play as a member of that society. The use of the bodies of murdered children for the development of vaccines and medication is a state of affairs that no person with a conscience can accept. If you neglect to boycott such a vaccine because you truly need it for your health and you have no alternative, then you must do your best to make known to the manufacturer of the vaccine your opposition to their unethical practices. For decades, Catholics and other people of goodwill have implored the healthcare industry to develop vaccines by ethical means that respect the life of all human beings. Their voices have been largely ignored. In our culture of death, some lives are deemed worth preserving and others dispensable. For generations, the unborn have been the victims of other people's selfish decisions. Now, in this age of universal fear, they are sacrificed on the altar of safety. And we have the testimony of those who have taken part in this diabolical religion that this sacrifice of cells occurs while the child writhes in pain on this altar and his heart still beats. This may no longer surprise us, but it should never cease to outrage us. So much for may I. Part of the response to may I depends on the vaccine's necessity, safety, and efficacy. So, should I take a COVID vaccine? Is taking a COVID vaccine a prudent decision? At this point, you might be thinking, great, this is the part I've been waiting for. I have so many questions. Set aside the question of fetal cells. What if I'm not comfortable with any COVID vaccine? What if I have suspicions about all forms of vaccination? Whether they're truly effective and safe and respectful of the human body created by God? What about these new untested technologies I've heard about, cleared for emergency use but not yet approved by the FDA? What's really driving the powers that be to push universal vaccination for a disease that's not significantly more virulent than influenza? Is this really only about health, or are there more sinister motives at work? This past year's unprecedented government control over every aspect of our lives, especially our freedom of worship, justifies such questions, doesn't it? Indeed it does. But the answers to these questions are a matter of free discussion. That discussion cannot be settled today from the pulpit. The Church has never been opposed to medical science. If your health is seriously in danger, and a certain form of medical intervention is likely to be safe and effective in preserving your health, the virtue of prudence normally dictates that you pursue that course of action. Whether any COVID vaccine, ethically produced or not, meets those criteria is not a question I can answer for you. Find a good Catholic doctor you trust and educate yourself before you take anything. But the question, should I, may become irrelevant based on how we answer the third question. If it is morally permissible for you to get a COVID vaccine, does it follow that you must? Not surprisingly, this part of the Vatican document got less press, but it will get some airtime today. The document continues, "Practical reason makes evident that vaccination is not, as a rule, a moral obligation, and that therefore it must be voluntary. In any case, from the ethical point of view, the morality of vaccination depends not only on the duty to protect one's own health, but also on the duty to pursue the common good. In the absence of other means to stop or even prevent the epidemic, the common good may recommend vaccination, especially to protect the weakest and most exposed. Those who, however, for reasons of conscience, refuse vaccines produced with cell lines from aborted fetuses, must do their utmost to avoid, by other prophylactic means and appropriate behavior, becoming vehicles for the transmission of the infectious agent. In particular, they must avoid any risk to the health of those who cannot be vaccinated for medical or other reasons and who are the most vulnerable. Vaccination is not, as a rule, a moral obligation, and therefore it must be voluntary. I hope you can draw the clear conclusion from that pronouncement by the Holy See. governments, companies, employers, and other entities with direct power over people's lives must not require vaccinations. But the duty to pursue the common good is also mentioned here. Could taking a vaccine be a grave obligation of charity, or even a strict obligation of justice? It would seem we could envisage such an obligation if, for argument's sake, we imagine a vaccine that is ethically developed, completely safe for the individual taking it, and effective in preventing a highly contagious and lethal disease. Whether there is or ever has been such a vaccine is not a question your preacher can answer, and so he has no right to burden your conscience on that point. Is COVID-19 such a disease as the one I just described? Like you, I know only what I've been told by the health authorities. Contagious? Yes. Highly lethal? No. At any rate, the church has already furnished us with enough information to answer my question. Must you? Do you have a moral obligation to get a COVID vaccine? No. And don't let anyone tell you different. There remains one question to address. The church has declared that no one may be forced to receive a vaccine. But what if governments, employers, schools, and the means of public transportation refuse to respect individual rights? What if COVID vaccines, abortion-tainted or not, become necessary, not to avoid harm to others, but to avoid immobility, fines, or imprisonment? The latest document from the CDF doesn't address this issue specifically, but it is included in what it teaches about necessity. If you have to receive a vaccine, even an unethically developed one, in order to avoid any serious detriment to life, liberty, or property, loss of employment, exclusion from school or public transportation, or civil penalties, you may do so without sin. But such rules or laws are unjust. If you choose to disobey them, you do not sin against justice. Pope Pius XI, citing the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas, declared, "Public magistrates have no direct power over the bodies of their subjects. Therefore, where no crime has taken place, and there is no cause present for grave punishment, they can never directly harm or tamper with the integrity of the body, either for the reasons of eugenics or for any other reason." There you have it. Must you? No. May you? Under certain conditions, yes. Should you? Pray and use the intelligence God gave you to make a reasoned moral decision. Our Lady of Good Counsel, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.